Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, as you always are here on Tuesdays at 12 noon. And man, as always, I have a great guest. It's one of our own here on LA Talk Radio. It's Dave from Divine Mind Tribe Radio, the host of LA Talk Radio. I think probably most spiritual talk radio show. I think, kind of. He's an enlightened being. I mean, he's... thank you. But you're another generation enlightened being, which means that you've leveled up a little bit more than me.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. First of all, thank you so much for having me on the air, Dr. Michelle. Such a tremendous pleasure to share this cyberspace with you and all of your amazing listeners. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in and sharing your wonderful Tuesday, I would say, depending on where you are in the world, whether it's morning, evening, or night, with us.
Yeah.
We are very honored to have you. Doc, you, in response to you saying the generation level up, that's very sweet of you, but we would not have the gateways for the level up if it wasn't for you and your generation and people like you inspiring my generation to understanding higher perspectives and different, approaches to the human experience.
Right, exactly.
Although it is all relative and things can be different, but it's all relative and you have a wonderful way of breaking that down. So thank you.
My pleasure, honey. So today I thought what I'd do is talk to Dave about spiritual psychology, because
I love it.
You're a well-read spiritual gentleman, and I am a psychologist. Thank you.
You are a well-read spiritual woman.
Very kind gentleman sometimes.
Woman and graceful embodiment of the divine feminine.
Thank you, honey.
Divine eternal.
It's like I've been incorporating a lot of my cognitive behavioral work with my patients.
Yeah.
With their own spirituality, see, and whether that means their own religion or whatever, just to sort of help them, you know, cope with a lot of things that have been happening. Of course, you know, this whole thing with the pandemic's been really rough for so many people, and we've talked about this, blah, 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 you know, about how terrible this it is, a world plague, and it has been. And where we're at in the country here in Los Angeles, it's getting a little mellower. Mm-hmm. So they're opening up more places. The number of contagious coming in here, the hospitals are very low now in terms of people coming in with COVID. So things are opening up, and a lot of people have gotten their inoculations. It's safer. So, but the thing that I'm saying is there's a lingering energy going on with people still having fear about, you know, should I wear a mask still, or who should I be paranoid about, or I've had my shots, but I'm, you know, really uncomfortable. And I've lost my job because, you know, of COVID, or a lot of people at my office fired, so I'm doing the work of 10 people, which one I'm seeing a lot of.
Right.
And so a lot of people have just been coming to me with, you know, these kinds of issues, and also being cooped up in their homes. People who were used to, like, have, if they have kids, you know, having, you know, the opportunity, right, to school time, and then they have the opportunity to go to their offices or whatever and get some downtime from. But a lot of people, you know, have had to just sort of be indoors and work remotely. And, you know, it's all about the kids, just kind of, and that they come first, I guess. But mommy or daddy and or both, you know, have to do a job. So it's just been another whole bunch of issues that I've been hearing. So I've been trying to help people out with their own inner guidance and inner strength and how they can, you know, come together and just sort of stay calmer, manage their anxiety and manage their hopelessness about, oh my God, how long is it going to last? Is it going to be awful? Or and then beyond. So now we're doing much better. And how can we become higher vibing people and, you know, just live our lives a little easier?
Is that a question you're asking me, or is that?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that this is what they ask me. But I think what I'd like to do is, you know, just kind of talk about how you've helped me in, you know, defining more spirituality and how I've incorporated some of your teachings into my practice, which, like I said, is cognitive behavior. I'm eclectic. I do everything.
Right.
I do psychodynamic, cognitive behavioral, humanistic, all these different orientations, because everybody's different and everybody needs different types of therapy. But
of course. And there are some there are definitely some commonalities that people throughout, regardless of age, race, creed, color, sexual orientation, religion. There definitely are commonalities that ripple throughout the entire collective global consciousness. So one of the things, Doc, just to touch on moving forward, everything that you just expressed in regards to what some of the major hurdles have been for a lot of the people, not only that you see, but you read in blogs and you do your, you know, studies and your psychological research, which reflects a lot of very powerful information when you know how to break it down and apply it and stuff. One thing that I wanted to touch on that you'd said, you know, regardless of the situation that, you know, this shift in global energy may have, regardless of the ripple effect that the shift in this global energy has had onto you, listeners, anybody that you, loved ones, friends, family, doesn't matter.
In COVID right now,
And the year 2020, you know, just in a whole, and then kind of readjusting in 2021. Yeah. One thing that I just want to bring awareness to, which is extremely fascinating. So check this out. If you are listening to this show right now, that means that you are actually living in a time which is operating outside of the Mayan calendar's time matrix.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Exactly.
Right.
Our entire lives, we've been living within the Maya calendar's time matrix. Now, what that means is, see, the Mayans had a direct communication not only with the stars, but the star beings.
They were very spiritual people.
They were.
They really were.
It's not that they were spiritual people. It's that they are spirit. They understand that there's a difference between being a spiritual person and understanding that you are spirit. They understood that they are spirit. They understood that the stars and the astrology and they all work together to reflect a very divine and sacred, if you want to call it, geometrical matrix of vibrational energy or photonic energy. Reason that I'm sharing this with you. So when we created the Gregorian
calendar,
we actually, so December 21st, 2012.
Right.
Remember, everybody thought that was the end of the Mayan calendar.
Oh, right. Everybody was saying, the end of the world. Oh, my God. Everything. Right.
That actually, believe it or not, due to the difference in how Gregorian time is measured in relationship to how the Mayan calendar was measured, there was an 8-year offshoot. There was an 8-year difference between our understanding of the Mayan calendar as the Mayans wrote it versus our interpretation of how the Mayans wrote it through Gregorian.
So I'm a little confused. Yeah.
December 21st, 2020 was actually the scientific end of the Mayan calendar. So, at the very end of 2020, we exited an old paradigm. We exited a paradigm of pain and suffering and suppressed energy and dense energy. And we entered a new paradigm of malleable energy. Now, it doesn't mean the energy is slow. What it means is when I say the veils have been lifted, there is no more energetic. I'm not quarantine. I'm not talking about a quarantine on Earth. I'm talking about vibrational quarantine.
Well, that's one and the same in a way.
Consciousness.
What happened, I think, in, you know, this is what was happening, and I don't know who's guiding or whatever the universe, but I think somehow, you know, some of the spiritual literature I've read, and this is not, you know, woo-woo, hokey-pokey stuff. It's that we always cleanse and we always need, and I'm not talking about cleanse in terms of like the Ice Age or people passing away and all those horrible things.
Right. Yeah.
What I'm talking about is realizing how good we can come together as a collective world and move out of this type of play, and how we can all come together. And it starts with the individual. It also starts with helping in the community and helping raise the consciousness, or however you might want to say it. And to me, it's like, so what I say to my clients, and this is, by the way, I'm not your therapist, folks. This is my disclaimer. I'm just giving you information. So we don't have a therapeutic relationship, but I'm just sharing with you what I, you know, teach my patients sometimes who wish to get a little more information, you know, or in touch with themselves and their higher selves. So I always tell them that, you know, spirituality can be defined broadly as a sense of a sort of a connection to something higher than ourselves.
That's right.
And so many people search for meaning in their lives. What's the meaning of COVID? I don't even know if there is, except it taught us all to come together.
Yeah.
First responders, help our families, appreciate how important our loved ones are.
Yes.
And the whole world had to come together on this one.
Yeah.
And each country had to figure out how to manage this. And they all did that on their own pace. But I'm not really talking necessarily, and I don't want to devote this show to, because I've done many shows on, you know, how to overcome and cope with the COVID pandemic. But I'm talking about, again, just bringing us back to the last year and a half. And like you said, the change, you know, that we've all had to undergo. And now it's a new beginning. So a lot of people are searching for meaning to all this, or what their life's about now that their lives have dramatically changed.
That's right.
What is the meaning of their lives? So,
you
know, and the thing is in spirituality, the sense of like transcending into the new life,
right.
Some find it in their own religion. And a lot of people have joined now, what I'm hearing, a lot more churches, synagogues,
absolutely,
you know, temples, Buddhists, anything and everything. They're really getting with it because this taught them they've got to get with a higher power. And others find it within themselves, within their own hearts, through their meditation practices or through their prayers.
That's right.
With their God, whoever that might be, higher power, spirit, whoever you want to call it. So the understanding of spirituality differs across religions and belief systems. But it can be described by finding meaning and purpose in life, basically, whatever way that works for you.
Right.
So the thing is what I teach them in psychology, and you can jump in here because you have a lot of people who come to you even through your Divine Mind Tribe radio station and ask you questions. But they're trying to find, and I think this is what your audience too, is trying to find a meaningful connection with something bigger than themselves.
Absolutely.
And that, it, you know, can result in increased positive emotion.
Well, there's no, yes, go on.
And those transcendent moments are filled with peace and contentment, well-being. And that's what we're talking about here is well-being.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's the whole bottom of it.
That really is. That is the bottom line, Dr. Michelle, is that when you said earlier, you know, people are asking, well, what is the purpose of life? And what is the purpose of all this?
Mm-hmm.
And I just, under my breath, I was like, well, that's an easy one.
Ah, yes. Right? Yeah.
You said it. It's learning to embody joy, learning to have control over your thoughts, actions, feelings, emotions, mm-hmm. responses.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that if you can take responsibility for the lower vibrational, or in other words, in layman's terms, the poopy stuff that's happened in life.
That sounds like your daughter, the poopy stuff that's happened.
except she'll never have to go through poopy stuff outside of what comes out of her tushy.
Oh, okay, that's TMI.
No. I have a 3-year-old and we are creating a reality which reflects nothing but what our concept of heaven on earth is. It's just unconditional love.
Right.
And this is the reason why I say my daughter, 3-year-old, this is what we're creating for her, is because it is once again a direct reflection of the highest and greatest embodiment of the self.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it, like you said at the beginning of the show, Doc, our children are everything. And
oh,
for those of you that have children, you understand this. Mm-hmm. For those of you that don't, listen, you are your child. You are your child,
mm-hmm.
right? Speak to the inner child. And I'm not just talking about the inner child. You, in the day-to-day moment, see, we all have, regardless of the age, regardless of what we've been through, regardless of life experience, our souls are at a specific vibrational plateau.
Mm-hmm.
And this life experience is the greatest place. Planet Earth is a breeding ground for greatness and leveling up and learning. Learning through pain, learning through struggle and strife, all those things. But then when you can get to a certain plateau of understanding that you don't require struggle or strife or the concept of lack or the concept of worry or the concept of anger to penetrate the knowingness that you are that channel. You are the wavelength for the energy of creation. And when you can really harness that energy of creation, harness the feeling of knowing that you in this moment are operating outside of an old paradigm.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to bring up with the mind.
Oh, exactly.
That was just to clear up.
Gotcha.
That was kind of what I was trying to bring up with the whole mind calendar thing.
I get it. Yeah, yeah.
We are the difference between living in 2021 and 2020 is 2020 brought up through the experience of, you know, this disease and like you said, this plague consciousness, which then initiated fear consciousness.
Yes.
It forced anything that people were pushing down to the surface and anything that we're suppressing, it forced those suppressed energies to come to the surface to be identified for the individual to recognize whether it serves them or whether it doesn't. And if it doesn't serve you, then chances are you let go of it because you had too many responsibilities to focus on things that weren't serving you or your family.
Yes.
Now, operating in 2021, the fact that we're outside of that old paradigm. And the reason why I bring up the mind calendar is because they understood the pragmatic cycle. They understood the cycle between the dimensional malleability between, you know, they understood the shifts and they understood time periods through following the stars and being in contact with other beings of higher consciousness. That's for another show.
I mean the writings and the, you know, the scribings and the petroglyphs or whatever, if you want to say, of the Mayan teachings. I mean, they were just amazing how, it was amazing that you're coming from that. But so we're into a new paradigm now, you say.
And it's all about joy.
And what it is about joy. But what I love what you said about, you know, all the worst things came out, you know, from the fear from the COVID, you know. I don't think on a universal level that human beings have ever been at one time faced with their own mortality. I think it's about complete fear. How to do, oh my gosh, you know, wait, I'm 25 years old. And I could die from this. Wait a minute, I'm young, I have a whole life. Or I'm 50 years old, and wait a minute, I'm pretty healthy. Wait a minute. Everybody was sort of faced, and like David said, you know, like you said, Dave, all these fears came up that, you know, just like branched out from the tree. All these branches of other fears came about. Not only, oh my gosh, there were many people who said, I'm not worried. I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to, you know, get immune, you know, through a crowding or herd immunity. A lot of people chose that, and that's fine or whatever. But the point is that now I think people have learned and tried to come to terms with a lot of their own fears about their mortality, about, you know, lack of abundance because they lost their jobs. They lost their housing. Then all these fears came about, and we've had to, the whole world, I think, had to really, on a global universal consciousness, come together. Yes.
Right.
And so this is what's happening. And from this, I want to segue into your sort of definitions of the things that now we're moving into in this year.
Sure.
And I've seen more and more of this because you're wise and you have some great things to say. So,
So
in 2021, now a lot of people are searching for the meaning. They're trying to get back on their feet. They're trying to get slowly. They're doing like hybrid, going back to work, you know, like programs, getting back into the workplace. And some people are finding new jobs. Some people are putting their children now in preschool, whatever the transition people are having to, you know, just work through this time. And we all went through fear. So more and more people are connecting to their higher self. And so some of the self-transcendent emotions, as I say, that we've all had to kind of get from the last year are connecting all of us. And I call that pro-social connections, pro-social behaviors. And so all of the things that people are, to me, coming into learning is the importance of having gratitude because they survived this. Their families are here. So I want to go through some of the really positive ways that people can help themselves and things that they can do. Absolutely. And with your knowledge, to help people out from your perspective, from your, Divine Mind Tribe radio show.
Oh, thank you.
Kind of help people understand, and your Instagram platform. Oh, it's beautiful.
Interaction with people.
Yeah, by the way, throw that in there. Tell people how they can get more information about.
So easy. Instagram, Divine Mind Tribe. Can't miss it.
Cool. Cool. And the Consciousness Doc is my thing, too.
Yeah.
If you want to see that.
Yeah, Doc, I got to be honest. I had no idea you had such a large following on social media. I was blown away.
Well, I'm not like your following, but okay. We'll talk later. Hook me up. Thanks.
You're awesome.
So some of the helpful kind of like self-transient emotions that people are moving into.
Absolutely.
That I'm telling them about and that I'm seeing, number one, because of this world plague, is having more compassion for other people.
Gratitude, right. Authenticity, transparency.
Right.
It's about being real with yourself.
Okay.
Right? So I'm just gonna
What have you been teaching? Like, what is your take on compassion and how people can get more compassion in their lives?
Well, see, they're all connected.
Ah.
The thing is, you can't have more compassion in your life if you can't have slippers, for example, right? Slippers. Those bring compassion. Okay.
They're quiet.
A comfy, I'm totally serious, right? You want to feel compassion, you be present, right?
Yeah.
You put a comfy pair of slippers on, you get your silk bathrobe.
And you're talking about self-compassion.
Well, of course. Self-compassion, because if you have compassion for the self, then you can have compassion for others.
Beautiful.
The only time that you do not hold on to compassion for others is when you have a relationship, you have you have neural pathways in your brain that have been created a preconceived notion. They're triggers. So when you hear the word money, when you hear the word wealth, when you hear the word lack, what there's certain things, and I just bring those words up because those are super trigger words on the collective consciousness scale. When you hear the word comfy slippers, when you hear the word silk bathrobes, what I'm talking about is being present. So one of my favorite, absolute favorite quotes, I've said this on my show and by Mind Tribe Radio here, obviously, LATalkRadio.com, channel one, every...
Yeah, on Sundays at one, aren't you?
Yeah, here we go. Hey, it's only Tuesday. No, I'm
getting ready for
you. Really, guys, this is what it's about, being present.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite quotes. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift, for that is why it is called the present.
Yeah.
The present is the gift of creator. How do we find more compassion for not just ourselves, but reflecting the compassion that we learn to embrace within ourselves and projecting that onto others, projecting that onto our reality, giving compassion for the food that we eat, every single meal that we have, every sip of water. If you guys check out Dr. Masaru Emoto, one of his books, The Power of Water, it's one of my favorite books. He talks about, it shows images as well under a microscope, the power of intention behind obviously setting an intention. It changes the molecular structure of water. A lot of people do know about that. A lot of don't.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot don't. So if our bodies are roughly anywhere between 73% to upwards of 90% water, depending on how much we hydrate ourselves, then our thoughts are literally changing the molecular structure of our bodies. So if we can feel compassion for ourselves, we're going to feel compassion for others. If we can feel gratitude for the things that we have, down to literally taking a sip of water. The more gratitude that you practice in your life, you understand gratitude is a space maker for things that you want more of. The gratitude is the universe's key to, or I should say the universe's doorway to opening potentials that are beyond your current comprehension or understanding.
Oh, you know, you're talking about quantum consciousness, which is right up my alley, which I love. Is
that's all,
you know,
that's
that which you put out into the universe, many times you get back. A lot of people think that's like an eye for an eye or revenge or what, karma or whatever. But what I say is, you know, if you guys, you know, want to look deeper into, you know, the quantum theory and how that's connected to our mind consciousness and all that stuff, it's not woo-woo. It's, you know, science, and there's so much on it right now, and the top guy, of course, I've always said on YouTube, if you want to learn about taking care of, like Dave is saying, your self-compassion, going within, having gratitude, you know, Dr. Joe Dispenza's the guy, this becoming supernatural and how you're connecting, right, you know, to the quantum field. I want to just kind of jump on something real fast.
I love shifting.
You said within your compassion work and gratitude work, you said something about being present. And the way I understand that is, and this is how I work with people sometimes, is not being in the past. A lot of, well, not being in the negative past,
of course,
right? Like, oh my God, this person hurt me. Oh my gosh, life sucks. So I'm so afraid of this because this is what happened to me in the past and it's going to happen. And not being in the present by going into the future with the what ifs. What if I get sick? What if I get cancer? What if this has, you know, so you say, of course, but I'm just saying this is what I'm hearing, you know, on a daily basis in my work. And it's staying in the present moment. It's very hard to. I mean, we're not all Eckhart Tolle. We're not. OK. He lives in the present moment, you know.
See, that's the beauty. I guess that's what I understand.
Yes.
And trust me, I am not always, I'm not saying by any means that I'm always operating in the present, but you can teach yourself.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Eckhart Tolle or Deepak to, or Abraham Hicks or, you know, to operate in the present. All you need to do is not think about anything outside of what you are doing in that moment that channels your joy.
Right.
If you are, this is the classic example that I'm going to apply to any facet of life. If you love music, the moment that you pick up your instrument of choice and you start playing, you literally go into a quantum space. Your consciousness leaves this grid of time and space, and it enters what a lot of people refer to as the flow state.
Right.
Abraham calls it the vortex. Dr. Lynn Dyer calls it the space in between your thoughts. There's many different names, but where you literally become a conduit for the energy of creation by getting your thoughts out of the way. When we are not thinking from the place of ego, we are existing from a place of consistent and eternal knowingness. And that knowingness is what streams these fantastic abilities to create such wonderful music. You know, the classic, every inventor in the world or a great genius or brilliant individual will tell you that, you know, a 20 or 30 minute nap is pretty much the foundation to every idea that has ever moved and shaped the foundational structure of mankind.
So you're saying that mind state of mind, like a nap, and Dr. Cho.
You know more about the different frequencies.
Well, because I'm a napper. No, I'm
kidding.
I'm jealous.
No, I'm not. And I'm jealous.
No, I'm a big fan of sleep, and I'm a big fan of REM dreams. But, you know, you talked about, you know, being present and all that. And the more we can be in the now, we call it in psychology, you know, I'm mindful,
mindfulness.
And that's being mindful of your body, how you're reacting to certain stimuli. What did that person say to me? Ooh, how am I feeling now? That's now, mindfulness. Yes. You were talking about being a musician or playing an instrument. I had a client years ago. She moved to another state, but she was a pretty high profile harp player.
Sure. Very cool.
And she would go into a gamma, almost as we call it. That's what Dispenza calls it. The gamma state in the here and now. When she would play her harp, I said, "What do you do to relax?" And she said, "I meditate in the moment by playing my harp for half an hour." And I went, "Oh my God, I'm so jealous." So that's, you know, that's about, you know, that's part of self-compassion. Wow. Is being in the now and thanking and gratitude, thanking whoever your God is or whoever for bringing certain people, for even having that bottle of water, glass of water in front of you. That's why, you know, even prayer before and after, you know, during meal is thank you for this beautiful meal to nourish me. All that's putting out that positivity that continues to feed us and bring more joy, you know. And on a scientific level, that gamma state, that whatever meditative state, the prayer state, whatever you prefer, so many chemicals are being released.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, if you listen to any Greg Braden podcast about heart-brain coherence, about the love and the gratitude.
Oh yeah.
If you do that for 15 minutes a day, there's something like 120 chemicals that are released in your brain.
Wow.
that are healing, that are cell repair.
Cellular regenerating.
It's amazing.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
Doug, I don't want to throw you off your flow. I see you're in your gamma.
I am in my top gamma.
We always assist each other in being in the gamma.
Yeah.
Don't hate the gamma. Don't hate the player. Love the gamma. You get it?
I get it. The gamma game.
Don't hate the player. Love the gamma.
You're silly.
Sorry that I know how to align with myself. Never apologize for being able to align with higher consciousness. Okay, what I just wanted to jump in real quick, just throw in there. How to, because obviously the show, today's show, before we wrap up, we have about 10 minutes. Obviously it's based around talking about how to become more spiritual.
Right.
And
whatever that means for
whatever anyone. Whatever that means. For
religious. Anybody,
right?
or
one of the things that I wanted to hop in, that recently, I would say as of within the last two weeks, I've started embracing and asking more of is, here's the thing, guys. We tend to get so programmed, even if you've done the work to reprogram old belief systems. Bashar calls it a belief thief, right? taking on your parents' belief systems as a young child, and then going, a lifetime without ever asking yourself, where did these beliefs come from?
Sure.
How do they serve me? Sure. So we know the belief, letting go of those beliefs, and that's all well and good. Letting go of old patterns that maybe we learned from parents or grandparents or friends or acquaintances or what circumstances or out of survival, whatever it might be. Moving into something else that I've been practicing lately is asking my higher self to introduce to me things that inspire me that I'm not even aware of.
Okay.
For example, we get so programmed that we almost, we all have heard the term thinking outside of the box.
Right.
Well, that implies that we're thinking in a box.
Right.
So if we're thinking in a box a lot of the time, which is just a metaphorical representation of neural pathways strengthening and bonding themselves over and over and over and over and over again, creating neural nets, and then those neural nets crystallizing, which therefore leads to repetitive, daily habits.
Yeah.
Ask source, ask higher self, ask whatever higher consciousness you have a relationship with, to show you and lead you through fun, excitement, and inspired action to doing things that you've never even tried, never even thought of. If you're driving on the road and you just happen to see randomly a go-kart, right? We recently moved into a new area. We absolutely love our area. And one of the first things that I saw, there's a speedway a couple miles down the street, just this little go-kart speedway. It caught my eye, and I thought to myself, that would be so fun to bring my family go-karting.
Oh, well, so you're saying whatever sort of comes to you out there, something, try things different.
That's right.
And I've been just the regular
20 years.
Oh, that's so cute. Whatever it may be.
Break the norm, right?
Right.
Take a different path to work.
Mm-hmm.
Break the norm. But you got to do it deliberately, or else your brain is going to default into
fear or
not
whatever.
Even fear, just a traditional pathway.
That's just more comfortable going back to the old.
Your crystallized, traditional pathway. Mm-hmm. Because when you start to change it up, even the little things, you take a different route to work, or you walk a different way that you haven't walked, or you just do something different. You rent a kayak for the day.
Oh,
whatever
I like that.
Whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. You align yourself with different things. You run into different people that are of a different vibrational frequency, and it just opens up doors for you to create a more malleable lifestyle.
That's awesome. And I try to suggest to people, too, that they, now that it's getting a little more social out there, some groups are forming. We're still doing a lot of Zoom groups, but I'm encouraging people to, follow groups, go into and I'm not talking about, meetups, like to hook up with somebody or something, whatever if they want. But I'm talking about, you know, meetups like groups, like hiking, like you said, kayaking. There's sailing groups opening up out here in the Marina Del Rey. Yeah. There's meditative groups, whatever. Do something now to change it up a little bit. If you have time, this is what people are saying. Yeah, right. When do I have time? Exactly. You make time.
And honestly, guys, look into cryptocurrencies. I'm telling you this. And Dr. Michelle, I'm not going to spend time on this.
Yeah.
If you are looking into financial freedom, if you are looking into opening yourself up to possibilities that you might not have been aware of before, just something to look into.
Well, you're a very informed fellow about cryptocurrency. So I love learning more about that from you. And that what that does is it does elevate, you know, a lot of different avenues into abundance. And we'll talk.
That's another show. I just like to.
No. Yeah.
Many
people, it's a new paradigm.
Inspired to get that financial freedom.
Yeah.
Free themselves.
And you know, I also, you know, just put it out there briefly in social media how we can just sort of tell people how to feel better and move on now. And since we have sort of the new paradigm and we're working through this 2021 into half the year, and this is wonderful, it's summer and you know, different times around the world, but I mean, it's really a good time to practice more positive psychological, you know, kind of techniques.
Absolutely.
Spiritual techniques. So a lot of the positive psychology interventions are about what you were just talking about, Dave, about gratitude, about self-care, about things like that. But there are like empirically validated interventions in psychology for helping people. We call them the four virtues. Hope, having hope. We all need hope for something, no matter what it is. We all have individualized what we hope for. So that's one. The other one is gratitude that we discussed, being grateful as much as possible to whoever, and thank a lot of people in your life, your family, your friends, your workmates, whoever that may be. A lot of gratitude. The more gratitude you put out there, that's positive energy.
Well, I am so grateful for you, Doctor.
Oh, thank you. That's likewise with you. And also for forgiveness. That's one of the four virtues, forgiveness. And that's huge, because we have to, number one, in my practice, forgive ourselves. One of the most common things I hear is people beat themselves up. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. And you were talking earlier about some of the things that we learned, you know, that weren't so positive because our parents had their own stuff and they had their unresolved issues. So we kind of always thought we were not enough or had to be better or had to be. And of course, now in social media, we have to be more. Another level. We have to be better looking. We have to be everything to everybody. We have to be sexier. We have to be all that. But I'm just working on, we've got to forgive ourselves for all those ugly thoughts we've had about ourselves. Self-forgiveness.
Yes.
And that's affirmations, self-love. And number four of the four virtues, self-compassion.
Huge.
What is compassion? It's not pity.
Huge.
It's I really forgive myself and I have compassion for myself that I've had to suffer for so long thinking I wasn't good enough or smart enough or good looking enough or all those things I felt I wasn't enough. I now am moving into self-compassion, not a pity party for yourself. That's good too. So, but self-compassion about I forgive myself and I really like my individuality. I like being whoever I am. I like my life. And I'm going to promise myself to really take good care of myself, my body and my mind. And just what you and I have been talking about, allowing the paradigm of the newness to come in and do new things and, you know, practice the gratitude and practice all the forgiveness and the wonderful things. Self-compassion is huge.
Huge.
And so appreciation, compassion, inspiration, like you talked about new things
Yeah.
And the number one, right there, that's the word.
Love, baby.
That's it.
Love.
If we don't love ourselves, okay, we can't love others.
Well, of course. It's the classic. I don't mean to cut you off.
No.
The classic. We can't give what we don't have.
That's exactly right.
If you love, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
How deeply you love with the 30 seconds we have left, I want you to obviously do your wrap up and close out, but I'm going to close my piece out by just saying you're absolutely right, Dr. Michelle, and thank you for dedicating your life to teaching as many people as possible that are a vibrational equivalent to receiving the information about the importance of love. That's what we do. We assist as much as we can in the ways that we know how.
Mm-hmm.
It may resonate with some and it may not resonate with others, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's all good. And if it doesn't resonate, we love you for already being aligned with something that works for you.
Right,
and that
exactly.
Your greatest good.
Exactly.
So that's what this is all about, guys. At least, you know, that's on my end. And love. Love is huge. We cannot give what we do not have.
That's right.
And, you know, the classic, my close right here is holding on to anger. The classic Buddha is like holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to croak.
Beautiful. Thank you.
I love
Dave.
You, Dr. Michelle.
Hey, Dave.
Thank you so much.
Divine Mind Tribe Radio every Sunday at 1 p.m. Check him out. And also his Instagram, Divine Mind Tribe. It's the best. Guys, as I always say, really thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And I always suggest that you do take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
You can love that which you are. If you can, just like what you are. And then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Thanks for being on the couch, Dave.
Thank you, Dr. Michelle.
All right.
Love you so much.
All right. Blessings to all. Thanks for being here. Talk to you next Tuesday at 12 noon. Bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.